Take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 37 tonight. We're continuing in our series of Back to Basics. And we're on Wednesdays, at least through the first part of this year, we're going to be focusing on the things that should be fundamental to Christian living. Basics. Not something that's pie in the sky, not these, you're teaching deeper life teachings. No, we're teaching normal life teachings. I remember some years ago, we had a preacher boy at Bob Jones that he was anti anything that had anything to do with deeper, and it showed in his grades too. But he got crossways with our Bible doctrines teacher, Dr. Richard Gray, and he was going back and forth. He said, "You're teaching deeper life teachings, and my pastor said that we're not supposed to listen to deeper life teachings." And I remember Brother Richard saying to him, "Son," he said, "I'm talking about normal things. Everything that I've shared, if I've shared anything that wasn't attached to a Bible verse," and it was just silence. You could hear crickets in there. And the boy was just flustered because he learned all the different memorized things, but he didn't know how to think on his own. And it was such a lesson to me. Be careful what you stand up for. Make sure it's based on the Bible and not based upon some concept that somebody got worked up about and they want everybody to know about. Make sure it's founded on the Scriptures. There are normal things that should be true of the Christian life. It's part of growing up in the Lord. And for many people, we stay so immature, we're a mile wide and an inch deep. And the Bible has something to say about that kind of ground. You've got the hard soil, you've got the rocky soil, you've got the soil that's got the thorns and the thistles in it, and then there's only one good ground. And what does it do? It brings forth 34, some 60, some 100-fold. It brings forth fruit. It may not be all at the same level, but it brings forth fruit. And so that's what should be the characteristic of our life. In Psalm 37, one of the richest and fertile passages in the Psalms about Christian living. And we looked at this phrase last time, and we're going to look at it again tonight. Three times in the first eight verses, this phrase is used, "Fret not." Fret not. And in the Hebrew, it's the word that we could translate to blaze or to overheat. To blaze or overheat. There have been some times, as my daughter has learned how to pop popcorn, we don't have one of those fancy poppers. We just have a pot. We put the oil in it, put the lid on top, and we just do it on the stove in a regular pot. Well, there's been some times where I'm sitting in the living room and we've got a fire. I go running into the kitchen, smoke billowing up, and that popcorn is burnt as black as could be. Spent the next hour letting it cool off and then going in there and scrubbing the inside of the pot out, which you never can get all of the black out there, and said, "You cannot leave this popcorn thing. You can't go back in your bedroom and wait a little. You got to get in here and watch it the whole time." And, it overheated. And it could have burned our house down. You just never know about those kind of things. But overheated, that's the word here for fret, to get overheated. We talked about last time that this is just another word for worry. We looked at what worry is not. Worry is not the same as genuine concern, and worry is not the weight of responsibility that all are supposed to carry. But worry is some other things. And we looked at last time that worry is carrying a load that you should not carry. What does the Bible say we're to do with our burdens? Cast them upon the Lord. In other words, don't you carry it. You take it to the Lord. Have you ever thought about it that way? I'm not responsible to carry this load. I take it to the Lord and leave it with Him. There's a lot of things in this world that will drag you down, and we're going to talk about some of those things as we look at this. But it was Dr. Lyman Beecher, who was a Presbyterian preacher and father of Harriet Beecher Stowe and Henry Ward Beecher, and he once wrote this. He lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s, and I got along very well in life after I gave up running the universe. I got along very well in life after I gave up running the universe. Now, some of us try to run the universe. We want to micromanage everything. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to wear yourself out. And you will never manage it very well. All right? You try to micromanage everything, you will get flustered, and you will not be successful in what you think you're set out to do. Now, this is so important to get a hold of. This is practical Christian living. Now, I want us to look at some other things. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. This is another way of looking at it. It's carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Do I have enough strength to do that? No, I don't. I've got to take care of today, not worry about it, but take care of today. And if I'm worried about tomorrow and the day after that, we've all seen that and we probably have been it ourselves. Trying to carry tomorrow's load with today's strength. Now, all I can do today is get what I'm supposed to get done. And if I got extra time, then I can start working on things that need to be done in the future. I have to plan things out. I have to schedule things out. But I should not carry tomorrow's load with today's strength. Wise planning always takes tomorrow into consideration, but wise action only takes today into consideration. Do you listen to that? I read that many, many years ago, and I wrote it down in the back of my old Bible. Wise planning always takes tomorrow into consideration, but wise action only takes today into consideration. What if I act too early? Oh, we've all done that. We've acted too early on something and we messed it all up. If we just waited on the Lord and let Him unfold His will. But no, we jump the gun and we do something and then we have to clean up the mess for sometimes weeks and months and even years because we jumped the gun. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And what is the result of doing that? And He shall strengthen thine heart. Do you want the strengthening of the Lord? Then stop rushing ahead of Him. Wait on Him. Well, what's your call? Waiting. Sometimes you need to act. Yes, you're right. But not everything needs to be acted upon right now. Oh, I've seen God do some great and wonderful things when you just step back and say, all right, Lord, I'm leaving this in Your hands. I don't know what to do right now, so Lord, I'm just going to trust You. I need You to work in this situation and bring glory unto Yourself. Do you know He wants to bring glory to Himself in your situations? Absolutely. And sometimes I have to get my hands off of it. Oh, we like to have our hands all over it. Oh, well, I've got to supervise this. I've got to handle. Sometimes you just need to step back and watch God work. Amen? That's hard for some people. Oh, type A personality. Got to micromanage everything. Got to do everything. Listen, we've seen the results of that in the Bible. Right? I'll give you an example. Haman, type A personality. I'm going to get me a Mordecai. I'm going to show him who's boss around here. And he has all these elaborate plans. And he builds this gallows that everybody in the town can see. And he's got all of his plans all made out and he's got all of his henchmen that have got everything set up. There's just one thing. Who did he not plan on? God Almighty. And God Almighty just went through and undid every little thing that Haman did. And by the way, what did Mordecai do during this whole time? Was he out scheming his plans? I gotta do this, and I gotta do that. No, you know what he did? He fell on his knees and he prayed to Jehovah God. And he spoke to Esther, said, you better be on the alert. You need to take a stand inside the palace. And you need to let them know what's going on. But Mordecai, he doesn't do a whole lot in the book of Esther. He encourages Esther. He stands up for Jehovah God. But other than that, you don't see a lot of planning. Whenever the king said, "All right, Jews, you can go out and you can fight against those that try to come up against you," Mordecai was out there doing that. But it was God Almighty that brought all these things to pass. The sovereignty of God is written on every page of the book of Esther. His work being unfolded. And He did it in a way that brought glory unto Himself. They still celebrate the Feast of Purim. Even though it's pagan orthodoxy over there, but you know what they recognize? God did it. God did it. Sometimes we just got to get our hands off of it. Say, "All right, Lord, I don't know what to do. I have no idea how to proceed. So You're going to have to show me what You want me to do. And Lord, You're just going to have to work out the circumstances." Don't carry tomorrow's load with today's strength. Worry is yielding to the fear of failure. You know, some people live with a constant fear of failure. I'm going to tell you, I'll just use a personal illustration in my own heart and life. When I began my ministry and I started teaching, I lived constantly with the fear of failure. I didn't want to fail. And you know what the Lord did? He made sure I failed. It was 1993. We had decided that we were going to do a big fundraiser for the YAC program. So we decided we were going to do an all-day scramble up at Whiting Field. And we got a guy out of Ocala, Florida, that came up to help us with it. And he set it all up. He said, "We guarantee you're going to make $12,000. All right? $12,000 for the YAC program. Boy, that would buy a lot of equipment and get a lot of things fixed up. We had lights to replace out here at the ball field. And so we planned and planned and planned. I mean, we had everything laid out. Food all day. We had all the teams set up. We went out there. We did our best to try to get people to sponsor and so forth like that. And they played golf all day. And you know how much money we raised? $1,800. It cost us $600 to put the tournament on. I learned a lesson that day. I learned a hard lesson that day. Boy, I worried all day long. "Lord, this thing's got to be a success. Lord, this thing's going to look bad if it's not a success." And the Lord just said, "You're not trusting me. You're not trusting me." I learned something that day about fundraisers. God takes care of His work. God takes care of His work. And we have to do our due diligence. Amen? We do our due diligence. We're not foolish with the money. We're careful with it. But at the same time, we learn to trust. Take care of us. Amen? Lord, help us to trust Him and to rest in Him. I think every one of us that truly has come to the place where we learn to just rest in the Lord, that He's going to provide and He's going to take care of what He orders. I've seen this so many times. Royden and Danielle sent their monthly newsletter today. I got it in my inbox and I got to read it. It was a letter of rejoicing. The school is back open and it's running at full capacity. They even have more students than they had before. And so they said the teachers came in. They announced the school is going to get back open. They didn't even have time to call all the teachers. Word spread so fast and the teachers all came in. They worked for 2 days before the school opened. Royden said it was an amazing thing to watch them toil and to work and to labor to get all their classrooms ready and all their materials ready. And they opened the school and God provided everything that they needed. They had the money necessary to have all the food in place for the school to open back up again. And Royden just said, it was just of God. God moved in hearts. And God provided for what He ordered. This matter of trust is not pie-in-the-sky nonsense. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. You can live your way the world's way. Knock everybody down, get what you're going to get out of this world, or You can learn to trust God. Now, you have to do your due diligence. You can't sit at home and say, Lord, I don't want to work. You're going to have to provide for me. He's not going to provide for you. He doesn't take care of sluggards. But He does take care of His children who are doing what they're supposed to do. So worry is yielding to the fear of failure. We're so afraid we're going to fail at something. Let me tell you something. Some of the greatest lessons that I ever learned in my life, and I know Dr. Hobbs always said this, some of the greatest lessons he ever learned was after failure. Amen? After failure. Raise your hand if that's been the experience of your life. Yeah, all across the auditorium. Yeah. Some of the greatest lessons of life are learned after failure, because you know what you learn at that point? Lord, I did all that, and look what I came up with. Maybe I need to trust You a little bit more. Fear of failure will keep you from doing what you ought to do. It will keep you from doing what you ought to do. Fret not. Fret not. One more point. Worry is sinking under the sense of responsibility. There's one thing to have responsibility that you carry. It's another thing to sink under the load. To sink under the load means that your shoulders aren't big enough to carry it. Dr. Bob Sr. used to put it this way. Instead of asking God to take away your load, ask God to give you bigger shoulders to carry the load that He's given you to carry. That's a biblical request. Ask God to give you bigger shoulders. Maybe you need a workout. Maybe you need a workout. Maybe you need to start walking in the evening. Start carrying the load. We get lazy. That's the worst thing, the most corrosive thing that can happen in your Christian life is to get lazy. And you know where it starts? It starts right here. You get lazy. You look at it.
Amen.
That's where it starts. Lazy. You say, well, I'm tired. I had a really long day. Well, you should have stopped and took time when you had some strength. Is that okay? Could you have your Bible study earlier rather than waiting till 11:30 at night?
I'm going to have my Bible reading now
when my mind's the most wasted. Really? Now, some people can do it at night late. I happen to be a person, I love to do my Bible reading and my Bible study in the evening time. It's easier for me. I get up in the morning and I usually come to work, and then I will spend some time when I'm first starting my day, but I have to get wakened up first. I'm sorry. I just my brain is like has rust in it. I have to shake it off and get it going. So I work better at night. I get most of my work accomplished at nighttime. I get all my reading done. I get all the stuff that I want to get accomplished. My mind seems... But morning time, it's just like, what's my name? Do I have a pulse? It's just that way. Some people, boing, they're up in the morning, they're just going 90 miles an hour. God bless you if you're that kind of a person. I envy you. I really do. I'm just not that type of a person. So if you can identify with that. So there's time. You have to adjust your schedule around the Word. Right? Not the other way around. Well, I'll throw this in sometime during the day. Wrong. You got it wrong. You got it wrong. We need to make sure that we don't sink under responsibility. We need to be able to bear up to it. And the way you get strengthened, the way you get the energy vitamins for the Christian life is to get into the Word. Saturate your soul with the Word. And ask God, when you open your Bible, Lord, I need to have exactly what You want to give me for today. And you know what He'll do? He'll open up a word. Sometimes it's just a word that just stands out from the pages of Scripture and just grabs a hold of your heart and gives you something to go. Sometimes it's a phrase. Sometimes it's a whole section, a whole paragraph that all fits together and communicate something that God wants us to have. But the problem is, we don't take time to do that. God help us in that regard. We'll continue on with these basic. This is basic stuff. This isn't something that's weird or something that's just, well, people don't do that. Yeah, Christians do, because they love God's Word and they love God and they want to know more about Him.